The title of this morning's message is, It's Not Over. There is hope in Christ. You know, several years ago, I found myself in a very, very difficult time in my life. And it wasn't because of anything that I had done wrong. It was just something that God ordained for me. And I thought that it was over. I'm sure many of you have been there. And without getting into the specifics, it was just one of those times where I thought to myself, man, all these years of investing my life into ministry and this is how it all ends. It was perhaps one of the most discouraging times. And you know, when you're in those seasons, it's very hard to make sense of things. And I think one of the most challenging things for me at that time was thinking about the future and what the future held for me. And being married, having four children, I had an uncertain future and a lot of responsibility. And I'll never forget one morning when I woke up, and it seems like, you know, when you're in one of those seasons, although there was the Lord was with me, I knew that. But yet there was those moments where it was just very difficult. And it seems like when you're overwhelmed, you just open your eyes, you wake up, you open your eyes, and instantly it just hits you. You know, the thought. And that's how it was. I was laying in bed, and it was as if I was just getting, you know, hammered with all these thoughts. And I remember the thought that came to my mind was, man, this is how it ends. And then that voice, that still small voice, God spoke to me, and I'll never forget. It had such a profound effect in my heart. And it wasn't like a voice from heaven. It wasn't thunder. It wasn't anything. It was just inside. And he simply said this, David, it's not over. It's a new beginning. And I'll tell you, I had no idea what that was going to look like, but what a blessing. God is so good. His promises are so sure. And perhaps today you're here and you need a new beginning. You know, it's been said that the Christian journey is a series of new beginnings. And although in the journey there are some very difficult seasons, and perhaps you're in one of them, I say this often, it's always too soon to quit. It's not over. It's not over. God is with you, and he desires to encourage you today. I believe that with all my heart. It's not too late. There is hope in Christ. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at two places in our Bibles. First, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 23. And you can leave a finger there in Luke's Gospel chapter 23 and then turn into Matthew's Gospel chapter 27. We're going to look at a man. We're going to do a bit of a character study this morning. We're going to look at a man who, he needed a new beginning. The only problem was it looked like it was too late. It looked like it was over for him. But he did the wisest thing that anyone can do when things look hopeless. He turned to Christ. Might sound simple, and yet it can be so complicated, huh? Because we have the thoughts, we have the feelings, we have the circumstances, we have the past. And those things, the past, can haunt us, can make it hard. What just happened? Or the circumstances that I'm in currently can be such a hindrance. And they could be so gripping that it's hard for us to sometimes turn to the Lord. But he did the wisest thing that he could do. Although it didn't start out that way, it really looked like things were over for him. He's a man with no name to us. And yet his legacy and what he did speaks to us today and has spoken to many. This person was on the cross next to Jesus. He was dying. He was being punished for obviously crimes that he committed. He was a robber. The Bible says he was a robber. There's no doubt that this man was not only a robber, a thief, but he was a very violent individual. And perhaps in his attempts to steal and doing his crime, perhaps killed some or a person, and this type of punishment was reserved for the most heinous of criminals. And so it looked like it was over. Look at verse 38. We're just going to jump right in. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, that is Jesus, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saves others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" These criminals were there hanging with Jesus, observing everything that was going on. And as they were listening to all of the things that the chief priests and the passerbyers were saying, making fun of Jesus, while Jesus was there hanging on the cross, fulfilling his mission, and saying, if you are the Son of God, save yourself, come off that cross. I am so happy that Jesus stayed on the cross. He was actually doing what we all know, providing redemption for mankind. And by Jesus giving up his life, by Jesus there hanging, dying on the cross for the sins of the world, he made it possible for many to be saved. And many of you here, you are born again because of what Jesus did. You came to that point where you realized that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father except through him. And you made that commitment to Christ. Now, going back to our account here, these criminals, they heard, they saw, and they joined in. That's amazing. Their hearts were so hard. And listen to what it says, verse 44. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same things. So Jesus is there dying on the cross. These two men, one on his left, one on his right, they're dying. And their hearts are so hard. And they're just joining in the mockery and saying, "Save yourself, save us." And listen, I want to look at our message in these two paths, these two views. Considering this guy, view number one, it looked like it was over for him. Looking at this account right now, it looks like there's no hope for these criminals, but not for one. We're going to see, but then change took place. It looked like it was over, but then change took place. Now I draw your attention to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Beginning in verse 9, one of the criminals who were hanged blaspheme him, saying, "If you are Christ, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But something happened. After some time hanging on the cross, one of these men had a change of heart. And I can't help but to think, what was it that caused him to have a change of heart? Because he was joining in making mockery of Christ, or saying insulting things to Christ, criticizing him. But over time, I'm sure what had to happen was the Spirit of God was working. There's no doubt about that. But that man, he was seeing how Jesus was responding. And one of the things before this, Jesus said, and it blows my mind, after you think of how Jesus was treated, but Jesus there hanging on the cross with all sincerity of heart, he said the most beautiful thing, one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. And you know what I'm going to say, huh? What did he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now that had an impact that person's heart. So much so that he started to think about himself. He started to think about, there's no doubt about it, this must be the Son of God. And we're going to see in his profession. There's a profession, and then there is a petition, and then there's a promise. And we're going to see in his profession how there's no doubt he started to realize who Jesus was. And repentance took place. And you know what the first sign of repentance is? Fear of God. And it's a holy reverence. It's a respect. You know, this man, he had a past, a horrible past. And perhaps prior to this, he was thinking, there's no hope for me. It's over. It's over. But then he realized that there is something more to Jesus than just being a man, that indeed this is the Son of God. And so he had a fear of God, his heart changed, and he begins to rebuke the other guy who's talking junk. And he says in verse 40, "But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly.'" That's the second sign of genuine repentance. The first one is there is a fear of God. And the second one is there is admission of error, of sin. I'm guilty. And you know what? These men represent all of us. No matter what social status, no matter what, we are all guilty of breaking God's commandments, and we are all under the same condemnation. And the only hope we have is Christ. And so this man, he admits, he says, "We are guilty. We're under the same condemnation." And he started thinking about the reality that there's more to life than just this. You don't just die and it's over. He started thinking about the reality of, wow, it's coming to a close and I'm going to meet my Maker. But you know what? What I love, when repentance comes into the heart and when there is a change of heart, you start to realize the reality of salvation and of eternity and how Jesus is the Savior. And that there is mercy with God. He didn't feel like, that's it, it's over. There's no hope for me. He came to the realization that there was hope for him. And his past, he had to put the past aside. If he thought about his past, he would probably felt like, there's no hope for me. But you know what I love about Jesus? You can have the most horrible past, but Jesus is merciful and kind. And there's nothing. The only thing that he can't help you with is if you continually reject him. But he's merciful, and he always wants to help, no matter what. I mean, here's Jesus on the cross, and he's going to minister. He's already, there's no doubt, ministry is taking place, but he is going to minister to this man. Still, how loving, how kind, how Jesus, no matter what he's going through, whatever he was going through at the time, he still took the time to minister to someone else who was hurting. I want to be that way. I want to grow to the point that no matter what I'm going through, when there's a person in real need and really wants to turn to Christ, that I'm there and I'm available. Isn't that a great thing, a goal for us? God, help me, help us to be that way. And so, there's that admission of guilt and of sin. And then there is that profession, that admission that Jesus has done nothing. He came to that point of realization. He says in verse 41, but we're guilty, but this man has done nothing wrong. He realized Jesus was innocent. And then in verse 42, he said to Jesus, Lord, here's the petition. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Does that sound like an individual who's thinking that it's over, that there's no eternity? Think about this man's theology. It was as if his eyes were open to the truth. And he realized that Jesus indeed was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He realized that Jesus had a kingdom. And he came to the realization that Jesus was going to return, that it really wasn't over. Yeah, physically he was going to die, but he knew. He came to that realization that Jesus would rise from the grave and he would establish his kingdom. And he didn't do like the apostles did when Jesus was ministering. Hey, Lord, when you establish your kingdom, can I have a position? Can I be on your right or on your left? No, he was very humble. All he said was, remember me. Remember me. And then Jesus said to him, here's the promise. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That man must have felt so at peace at that point. It looked like it was over, but it wasn't. Why? Because he put his trust in Christ. You know, what changed? Well, we already talked about the man's heart changed. At some point, his heart changed. That's truly how all change takes place. Real, lasting change takes place where? In the heart. And then, because his heart changed, it wasn't so hardened, it was softened, then his mind changed, his thoughts, his mind changed towards Christ, and his hope changed. And I want to look at the word hope as trust. His trust changed. Before, he trusted in himself, but he had to let himself go in order to gain a new beginning. And he had to put his trust in the Lord. And that's exactly what he did. And what a powerful testimony this man leaves for all of us today. That when things seem like it's over, it's not over. Not if you put your hope in Christ. It's not over. How many of us have experienced this? That is, we thought there was a time where it doesn't look good for us, but then we had a change of heart. And when we had a change of heart and our mind towards Christ changed, our thoughts towards Christ changed, and we put our trust in Christ, our whole life changed, didn't it? And perhaps there are some of you here today, you need a change of heart. Whatever your circumstance is, you're being gripped by your circumstance, and God wants to free you up from that. And the only way he can free you up is if you put your hope in Christ. The psalmist says in Psalm 146, verse 5, he says, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." And you know, when we are in those times when it seems like it's over, I just have to remind you once again, it ain't over. Not if you put your hope in Christ. The psalmist says this, and this is a good example for us. And when you're in this situation, this is a good and fitting word for you. In Psalm 42:5, the psalmist, he encourages himself with these words. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me?" That's, why are you agitated, bothered, concerned, disturbed, distracted, distressed, frazzled, freaked out, unsettled, upset, worried? Why? And he says, hope in God. You know, I want to give you in closing, I know it's a shock for some of you. But this is my first of three closings. In all seriousness, saints, those of you who are doing well, I want you to be praying. Because I know that among us, there are some who you're not doing well. And you've lost hope. And my purpose in being here this morning is to encourage you to put your hope in Christ. And if you do, if you truly from your heart forget about yourself, and as the psalmist encouraged himself to put his hope in the Lord, he will help you. You know, the person that we looked at today, the criminal, did his circumstances change? No, they didn't. But his whole destiny did. And maybe your circumstances might not change. They may not change right away. But you know what? Your heart can change. Your mind can change. And although the circumstances may not change, your whole future could change because real change took place inside of you. Remember, Jesus is our deliverer. And he will deliver you from the thoughts and the consequences having such a grip on you that you become paralyzed. And so those of you who are going through this, that is, you are going through a very difficult time, and this message speaks to you, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to get up and come forward. I'm not going to put you on the spot that way. But I just want to pray for you. I want to take a few minutes and to pray for you and pray that God will strengthen you. And so let's do that now. Let's bow our heads and let's bow our hearts. And Father, I thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you that you have sent your Son Jesus into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And some of us here may feel like we're in a lost situation, hopeless. Lord, we recognize that you are our deliverer and that there is nothing too difficult for you. And so, Lord, those who are going through a difficult time, I pray that by your Spirit, you would give them that gentle nudge and help them to respond to you and to put their hope in you. with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if that's you, if it's you and you need help, you need God's help, I want you to just slip your hand up so I could see you specifically and pray for you. I see your hand, 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 I see your hands. And you can go ahead and put your hand down. And let's pray. Father, again, we come before you. And those that responded to you, Holy Spirit, I pray you touch them in a powerful way. Encourage their hearts and strengthen them. And Lord, as they put their trust in you, I believe you're going to help them. They just made a step of faith, a declaration that they need your help. And so, God, I know that you are merciful and there's new mercies today. And I believe that you're going to help them as they trust in you. They're going to experience that help that only you can give. And I thank you for that. And with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, listen, if there's a person or maybe some of you who haven't made a commitment to Christ yet, he is our only hope. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus and to make a commitment to Jesus. And if you haven't made a commitment to Christ, I want to ask you just to slip up your hand so I could pray for you. You go ahead and slip up your hand. Don't be afraid. And Father, we thank you so much for the work of your Holy Spirit among us. And it's such a great joy to be together, to praise you, to worship you, to spend time in your word, and to be encouraged by your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters here. I thank you for the family that we are. And I thank you for taking such good care of us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that in you, it's not over. It's never over. You're our only hope. And we love you. And we give to you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.